Last time was before my finals week of winter break, so early to mid-December-ish, I would call it. Sorry, I just saw my roommate outside of the radio station. Shout out to Alex. But it's been a little while since I was last on air. It was in December or some business, and since then my life has been not super duper hectic, but I figure I'd tell you a bit about what I've been up to since then. So just after my last show, I went and took my finals, which was spectacular. I mean, like, as spectacular as like your finals can be. It wasn't like the most exciting thing on the planet. I did pretty well on them. But then I went home, and my entire winter break, kind of the entire past month of my life, I've just been focused on taking the MCAT, which is one of those tests that is not fun to take, which I guess can be said about most tests, but this one is especially not fun. It involves sitting in a pretty dark room for like 7.5 hours, and it's just not the most exciting thing on the planet. But I took that last Friday, January 9th, and I will get my test like results back in February. So everybody, please cross your fingers, hope that I did well on it. Because I am hoping that I did well on it, because that would be good for me. So that's really what I spent a lot of my time doing. I was out in Denver, just kind of sitting around and studying all day, and watching a lot of this TV show, House MD. I'm sure that you guys are familiar with it. It was a relatively it's a famous show. It's not like a some, nobody's ever heard of it type show. It is House MD, and it was especially relevant to my life, studying for the MCAT. And so I ran through three seasons of House. I just started the fourth season today, so that's exciting for me. I'm pretty deep into it. But it's great. I highly recommend watching it. It's hilarious. And if you have any interest, particularly in like medicine, it's good for that. I mean, like, it's not good for that as in, like, I wasn't taking notes watching the show, being like, oh, so this is what I'm going to answer on the test. It's never lupus or whatever. It's more just like, just like interesting. And I found that it was a way to keep my mind in that headspace while still like relaxing and not just like studying. I mean, yeah. Does that make sense? I know that you can't answer me, but I hope that that makes sense. I feel like I might be crazy for saying that, but I think that it was a good way of doing that. So the moral of the story is, I really like House MD, and you guys should watch it. It's a fun show. What else do I have? I have another song to play for you guys. That's what I have. I picked up this record thinking it was just some nonsense, and that it was going to be some buns, if I'm being honest. But I like playing songs like that on the radio. I feel like that's enjoyable. I can't, if I played exclusively good 7-inch records, the show would be like decent. But if I sprinkle in a couple bad ones, I find that it makes the show a lot better. At least for me. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I don't know if you like listening to bad music like I do. But I was like, oh, this song title is really lame. I'm sure that the song, like, nobody's ever heard it, and it sucks. It's called Apples, Peaches, Pumpkin Pie by Jay and the Techniques. And as I was going to put it into Spinatron, I looked it up, because here on WREV, we have a policy where you can't play things that have been on the Billboard Hot 100. And it says on the record, there's a sticker that says 1967. So I was like, that's long enough ago where I like, it's possible that it was popular and I didn't hear it. It's because to be on the Hot 100, a song's got to be really popular. There's a lot of songs that I feel like everybody knows that haven't been on the Hot 100. Like Old 55, although I don't think everybody knows that one. But this one in particular, I was like, you know, I should look it up just to be diligent, to be a good radio show host at this station. And it was like number one on the charts on the Billboard Hot 100 in like the 60s. And that is kind of crazy. Because another thing that I'm adding on to this tangent is that on the like Spinatron platform where us radio DJs log our songs, if you start typing in an artist, a lot of the times there will be like autofill suggestions, you know? And when I put in Jay and the Techniques, there was nothing. So I don't know if the song's just like the most popular song that's never been played on the radio, or if it's like, if I was looking at the wrong Wikipedia page or something. But anyways, I'm going to play the B-side from that record now. It's called Keep the Ball Rollin', which isn't as bad of a title as Apples, Peaches, Pumpkin Pie. So I'm not as enthused about the song being bad. You know, I'm going to say one last thing before I play it. And that is, I really hope that, I mean, there are only a couple songs on the show that I've actively called bad. And I really hope that none of those artists ever listen to this. I know that there's a very minimal chance, but the chance is not zero. So, you know, I figure I'll cover my bases. Jay from Jay and the Techniques, or any of the Techniques, if you're out there listening. I haven't heard your song. I don't know if it's good or bad. But we're about to find out. Here is Keep the Ball Rollin' by Jay and the Techniques. Here we go.
Get set.
You just heard Keep the Ball Rolling by Jay and the Techniques. You know, that song was pretty good. It wasn't very bad, like I may have been setting it up to be. It was pretty solid. One thing I will say about it is that the name of the song was definitely Keep the Ball Rolling. They said that like 100 times. But overall, it was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't like it was just kind of like a... It just felt like a song from 1967, you know? like it would be in the background of, what's a good thing for this? I don't know. I can't think of any particular, like, movies that took place in the 60s or anything. Took place in 1967. Like if you were watching a movie that took place in the 80s and they had a flashback to 1967, that is the song that would be playing in the background. That is my thing about it. Or just any movie. It doesn't have to take place in the 80s. Any movie where if you have a flashback to 1967, that song would be playing on like a jukebox in a diner. And people would be drinking milkshakes out of those milkshake glasses. You know, the ones that they're like kind of circular, but they've got like defined at like they definitely have like sides. And it has a big base and it's made out of glass. That is my description. But yeah, pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. I quite liked it. I mentioned earlier that there was another record that I've been holding on to in my back pocket that I was going to close the show with. I said that before. I'm taking that back now because I found a different record that I'm going to close the show with. So I can play my back pocket record now. This one has been up my sleeves since December. And it's a great one. It's a great one. I'm really excited to hear this. I haven't heard this particular 7-inch record that I'm holding in my hands right now, which is what makes this all the more exciting. You know, I have a record player at my house. It's my roommate's, but like we can all use it, you know. But I haven't listened to this. I've been saving it for this specific moment. So, those of you tuning in right now, this is a big deal. You're about to hear something revolutionary. This is one of my favorite songs ever, I think. Don't hold me to that. And I couldn't put it in like a specific ranking, in terms of my favorite songs of all time. But, oh, somebody just chatted in saying I'm talking too much. All right. You know, just put it on. Oh, come on. But I like hyping it up. But anyways, fine. Well, no, I gotta say one more thing about it. He's one of my favorite vocalists of all time. One of my favorite artists. Well, not one of my favorite artists. Yes, one of my favorite artists. But he has one of the best voices of all time. That's what I was trying to say initially there. This is Kissing a Fool by George Michael. And I hope you guys enjoy as much as I am about to enjoy this.
Just what they want.
You just heard Kissing a Fool by George Michael, one of my favorite songs ever, and that record sounds great. It sounds great. I really hope you guys enjoyed that one. That's off of his first album, Faith. I think that's his first album. Goodness. I'm showing that I don't know my stuff here, but definitely listen. That album's amazing. And that song is just incredible. Just unreal. Okay, we're going to listen to a couple more songs, and then we're going to listen to the moon landing. I can't set up the moon landing too early. I feel like I had to ease you guys into it a little bit, you know. But I got you wrapped around my finger. The song, or what we're going to listen to, I don't know, full disclosure, I don't know exactly which song I'm going to play off of this album, or off of this single, because there's two sides, but I picked it up because the album art was great. Okay, I think I know which one I'm gonna, wait. Sorry, I got thrown off because I'm looking to make sure that this specific song didn't chart, and for some reason I thought that like this song was the invention of the limbo, but that is not true at all. The limbo is very, very old. let me make sure that this song is legit. Hold on, hold on. Let's Limbo Some More is the name of the song. Oh, nope, it hit the Billboard Top 100. So we are going to listen to The Other Side, maybe. 20 Miles. 20 Miles by Chubby Checker is bro's name. Chubby Checker. Wait. Guys, I'm sorry. Both of these songs charted. I can't play either of them. I was so hyped to listen to this. I apologize. That is my fault. I should have done more research in advance. So, in the interest of time, we are going to go straight into the moon landing. That is also at the request of my dear friend Stella, who is tuning in right now, from Cincinnati. So, shout out to Stella. And I'm sorry for everybody that wanted to listen to Let's Limbo Some More by Chubby Checker. You will have to do it on your own time. We've got more important things to attend to. Namely, the moon landing. So as I mentioned earlier, this is a record I found at the store titled Lunar Landing, Man on the Moon. It was produced by Doubleday and Company, Inc., and it is narrated by Peter Thomas, which I don't know who that is. I don't know that company. And I don't know what this record is. I assume that it's just a moon landing, but we are going to find out together. We're going to listen to the first side, and then maybe I'll take a break to talk a little bit. It depends on how it's going, really. I'm going to have to kind of feel it out. So this is Lunar Landing, Man on the Moon. I hope you guys enjoy. I don't know how this is going to be, so we will see.
Why, some say, the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why, 35 years ago, fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
This is Apollo Saturn Launch Control. We are go for Apollo 11. The Apollo mission, the flight to land of the first men on the moon. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower cleared.
Hey, Houston, Apollo 11 and Saturn gave us a magnificent ride.
All right, your 11, we'll pass that on, and it certainly looks like you're well on your way now.
And at this fiery, thunderous instant, the tireless efforts of thousands for over a decade and the dreams of millions throughout the centuries converged as the majestic Saturn V rocket catapulted man into history and mankind into the future. On July 16, 1969, at exactly 9:32 a.m., the heart of the whole world stopped momentarily as three American astronauts, Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin Jr., and Michael Collins, left a world that would probably never again be the same and rocketed across the cosmos toward man's first landing on another celestial body, the moon. The epic journey of Apollo 11 had begun. The next 3.5 days found Apollo 11 soaring through the heavens. And while the feats of man and technology were performed without a flaw, The eyes and ears of the world followed the spacecraft as it was shot into and out of Earth orbit, and then thrust into its lunar trajectory. We marveled as the crew delicately maneuvered the separation and docking of the command module, codenamed Columbia, and the lunar module, the LEM, codenamed Eagle, and then send the remaining stage of the Saturn V rocket into solar orbit. We waited patiently as Apollo 11 coasted for 2 days, confidently homing in on its lunar target, on the third day achieve lunar orbit, and while harnessing lunar gravity, remain in orbit around the moon for the next 24 hours. Finally, on the fourth day, the dramatic separation of Columbia and Eagle as the Apollo 11 mission reaches the threshold of man's most monumental achievement. At approximately 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, with Michael Collins orbiting the moon in the Columbia, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin began the Eagle's descent toward the moon.
Roger, Eagle, turn dot.
Roger, how does it look?
Eagle has wings.
Eagle, Houston, we rig you now. You're a go for PDI, over.
Roger, understand.
We're go, same type, we're go. 60 seconds.
Lights on, 40 feet down, 2.5, picking up some dust. 30 feet, 2.5 down, straight shadow. 4 forward, drifting to the right a little. 1.5.
30 seconds.
Forward, just dust. Okay. Contact light. Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent.
Auto descent.
Host control, both auto descent, engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Houston, that may have seemed like a very long final phase. The auto targeting was taking us right into a football field sized.
Okay, sorry. The record started skipping on a football field sized something. So I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Well, we're going to move on to the second side. I don't know if we need to listen to the last, like, minute of the first side, unless you guys are that interested in what happens in the beginning, and I mean, in the end of the first half of this educational programming about the moon, or about the moon landing, I should say. You know, which I think you guys might be. Hold on.
Manually over the rock field to find a reasonably good area.
Sounds good to us, Tranquility. Be advised, there are lots of smiling faces in this room and all over the world, over.
Two of them up here.
Roger, it was a beautiful job, you guys.
And don't forget one in the command module.
Roger.
Now, we'll get to the details of what's around here, but it looks like a collection of just about every variety of shape, angularity, granularity, but every variety of rock you could find. The color is, it varies pretty much depending on how you're looking relative to the real phase point. There doesn't appear to be too much of a general color at all. However, it looks as though some of the rocks and boulders, of which there are quite a few in the near area, looks as though they're going to have some interesting colors to them, over.
Roger, copy.
You have just heard the first half of lunar landing, man on the moon, the Apollo 11 mission. I'm now going to flip it over so that we can see the conclusion of this journey. I wonder where it's going. We will find out. I hope you guys enjoy.
3 hours ahead of schedule, Armstrong and Aldrin prepare to leave the safe atmosphere of the spacecraft and step out into the vacuum of the moon.
Houston, this is Tranquility. We're standing by for a go for a cabin depress. Over.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston. You are go for cabin depressurization. Go for cabin depressurization.
The hatch is coming open. Okay, Houston, I'm on the porch.
Roger, Neil. And we're getting a picture on the TV. Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
I'm at the foot of the ladder. I'm going to step off the limb now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Yes, the surface is fine and powdery. I can pick it up loosely with my toe. It does adhere in fine layers, like powdered charcoal, to the sole and inside of my boot. I only go in small fraction of an inch, maybe an eighth of an inch, but I can see the footprints of my boots and the treads in the fine sandy particles. It has a stark beauty all its own. It's like much of the high desert of the United States. It's different, but it's very pretty out here.
Buzz Aldrin becomes the second man to walk the moon, and the two space pioneers relay their impressions back to a spellbound Earth.
Now I want to back up and partially close that, making sure not to lock it on my way out. Okay, I'm on the top step, and I can look down over the RCU and landing gear pad. It's a very simple matter to hop down from one step to the next.
Yes, I found it to be very comfortable, and walking is also very comfortable.
There's a slight tendency I can see now to backwards due to the soft, very soft texture.
Oh, you're standing on a rock, big rock there now.
I say that the rocks are rather slippery. You have to be careful that you're leaning in the direction you want to go, otherwise you watch at the edge of that crater is
yeah, that's
soft.
A soft there, isn't it?
Hey, Neil, didn't I say we might see some purple rocks?
Find a purple rock?
Yep. Neil is now unveiling the plaque.
It says, "Dear men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon, July 1969, AP. We came in peace for all mankind. It has the crew members' signatures and the signature of the President of the United States."
Yes, indeed. They've got the flag up now, and you can see the stars and stripes on the lunar flag. Neil and Buzz, the President of the United States is in his office now and would like to say a few words to you. Over.
That would be an honor.
Go ahead, Mr. President. This is Houston out.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House. And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made. I just can't tell you how proud we all are of what you... For every American, this has to be the proudest day of our lives. And for people all over the world, I am sure they too join with America in recognizing what an immense feat this is. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's world. And as you talk to us from the Sea of Tranquility, it inspires us to redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to Earth. For one priceless moment in the whole history of man, all the people on this earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done. And one in our prayers that you will return safely to Earth.
Thank you, Mr. President.
It's a great honor and privilege for us to be here representing not only the United States, but and of peace of all nations, and with interest and a curiosity and with a vision for the future. Honor for us to be able to participate here today.
Thus history was made, and the nation's rendezvous with destiny fulfilled. On July 24th, exactly 195 hours, 18 minutes after liftoff at Cape Kennedy, Apollo 11 splashed down in the Pacific Ocean, 235 miles southwest of Johnston Island. As John F. Kennedy had said in those long ago days in 1961, before there was a moon program,
space is open to us now, and our eagerness to share its meaning is not governed by the efforts of others. We go into space because whatever mankind must undertake, free men must fully share.
Now, Apollo 11, with its high drama and suspense, is history. But let no one think the end has come. This is just the beginning.
You are currently tuned into 90.1 WRUV FM Burlington, and you know that can only be the case because no other radio station on the planet, is playing like a 10 minute long educational program on the moon landing from the 60s live on air. And it's a record, too, which makes it cool. That was the moon landing. Specifically, lunar landing, man on the moon, the Apollo 11 mission, narrated by... Hold on. Whoop. Narrated by Peter Thomas. Featuring audio from the moon landing, as you could tell. So I liked the part where the guy said one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. That's kind of like a famous line. So that was kind of cool to hear. And I liked when the narrator talked. That was nice. But the rest of it, the, like, phone call with the president and that sort of stuff, well, I could hear the phone call with the president, but some of the stuff was kind of difficult to decipher. And I don't really blame that on anything except that the record is from the 60s and that it's, like, audio of the moon landing, which is, I mean, it's not, like, I don't know, it's not meant to be, like, perfect audio. Like, they were more focused on landing on the moon, probably, than the quality of the lunar landing recording that I would play on the air set like 70 years later. But there we go. There was the man on the moon, the guys landing on the moon. Pretty exciting stuff. Very, very fake. I'm kidding. That probably did really happen. But it was pretty cool. I liked when the narrator talked. Aside from that, it was just kind of the moon landing.